Hey kids, welcome back to the next episode of the Incredible Kids Podcast. My name is Moritz Siri, and I will be your host through this incredible journey. We are going to meet many incredible kids. They are going to share with us their stories. Some of them super cool and different like you've never heard before, and some you may say are just ordinary, but all of them incredible. If you have great ideas, email me today at ikidspodcast@gmail.com. And now it's time for
Incredible Kids.
It's time for the joke of the day!
Yay!
Today's joke is brought to you by Ezreal F. from Toms River, New Jersey.
Why did the teddy bear not eat dessert? Because he was too stuffed.
Hi, everybody, and happy Erev Rosh Hashanah to you if you're listening to this on time. So, couple really, really, really exciting things I want to share with you. We just put out a really entertaining, fun, and educational, that means that you're gonna learn stuff kind of video with Meaningful Minute. So head to incrediblekids.org. You can click on the tab that says fun stuff, and there you'll be able to view our Rosh Hashanah video. I took a bunch of incredible kids with me to a honeybee farm, and we explored how we make honey and talked about some other really cool stuff. And I want to give a huge thank you to their team at Meaningful Minute, but also a huge thank you to Avi Deer, who is Mr. or Daddy or Abba to some of our incredible listeners. Shia and Yisrael Mayer, you should know that your father gave a lot of his time, more than I could have ever asked for, to Incredible Kids, because he knows that you guys love listening to the podcast. So thank you so much. And I also want to let everybody know that in Incredible Kids Podcast right here, you can expect another incredible episode right before Sukkot. It's actually going to have a lot to do with Simchas Torah, which is really interesting. You don't want to miss this one. And surprise, which I'm going to blow the surprise now. Remember from Chol HaMoed Pesach, we had game show trivia. Everybody keeps asking me, are you going to do it again? Are you going to do it again? We're going to be spending a lot of time in the car this Chol HaMoed. So, Emer Tashem, we are in the works planning an Incredible Kids trivia. Chol HaMoed travel edition episode coming for you as well. So I'm really busy here planning all of these incredible things. And if you're listening and you love Incredible Kids, it would be so beautiful if you want to sponsor either of those episodes. Please reach out to me, whether it's a business sponsorship or just because you believe in what we're doing and your kids are benefiting from this amazing, incredible initiative. So thank you so much. Now, let's get to business. Today, we are nearing Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's hard for people to just like, get into the zone. How am I supposed to just get into this like serious state of mind? The whole entire Asara Simi Teshuvah, 10 days of doing Teshuvah, is obviously about doing Teshuvah. But Rosh Hashanah is about making Hashem into our King and remembering that we are connected to Him and we have a special relationship with Him. And then later on, especially toward Yom Kippur, we beg Hashem for forgiveness. Please forgive me for doing this and please forgive me for doing that. And I didn't mean it. I'm going to be better this year. But the main thing is that we feel close to Hashem and connected to Hashem, especially by Rosh Hashanah time. So what helps me connect to Hashem is music. That's me. And I have a feeling that a lot of you do too. In fact, I asked you guys to answer my question, which we'll get to in a minute, of how music connects you. And I'm fascinated by kids who are committed to playing instruments and developing their musical talents. So I found two incredible kids, one from Florida, one from here in Baltimore, who are going to share with us how music elevates their life. Elevates means makes it higher.
Higher and higher, higher and higher.
Makes it like more lofty, makes it better. And I actually borrowed that word from Shmuel, who you're going to hear from later. He used the word elevate. I said, how does music make you feel? And he said, elevated. And I'm like, wow, what a word. What a word. So I actually named this episode, Music and Me, Talented Kids Share How Music Elevates Their Lives. So thank you, Shmuel, for giving me that awesome word. I just told you my secret to getting inspired before Rosh Hashanah is music. And we had on this podcast a bunch of weeks ago, Rabbi Yaakov Klein. He spoke about the importance of being a friend and not a bully and working on ourselves, that if somebody bullies you, right? how we can build up our self-worth and show how we love ourselves no matter what, and we're strong. And Rabbi Yaakov Klein is a musician, and I was watching him sing songs in England. And if you're curious to know what I'm talking about, please go back and listen to that episode. It is something else. You have to listen to it. It will change your year in school this year. And anyways, so he said something so beautiful, because he was singing and he was talking about how we can connect to Hashem during this time. And he was singing and he said something so beautiful that I want to share with you. He said, in Shemayim, up in heaven, there are these gates. Your Mora and Rebbe might have taught you in school about like the gates of Teshuvah. So Hashem, during this time of year, he's closer to us than ever. And he opens up the gates. And he said that in the name of a big Chassidish Rebbe, he said, some people think that the gates of doing teshuva are next to the gates of music. But what they don't really know is that the gates of teshuva and the gates of music are really the same gates. It's the same thing. So when you're connecting to Hashem through singing or listening to an inspiring song that's elevating you, like we just said, elevate, then that is teshuva. That is showing Hashem that you're coming back and you're going to have a good year this year. And you can feel, because music does that to people. It makes us feel something. It's very hard to explain. But the kids that I interviewed today explained it better than I could have ever explained it in my whole life. So I am so excited to share Molly's wisdom and Shmuel's wisdom with all of you. But before we get to that, I want to thank our sponsors, Yidflix and Mosaica Press. And we're going to talk more about some amazing, awesome stuff later in the show. So stay tuned for that. We asked our listeners, what is your favorite kind of music and how does it make you feel? Here's what they had to say.
Hi, my name is Hadassah and I'm 9 years old and I like slow music because it makes me very calm.
Hi, my name is Shlomo and I'm 7 years old and I like really fast music.
Hi, my name is Abigail and I'm 8 years old and my favorite music is exciting music because it gives me very exciting boost.
Hi, I'm Hadassah and I enjoy listening to Baruch Levine's music.
My name is Rifki and my favorite kind of music is chuppah music because it's very emotional.
Hello, my name is Dragi. I'm 6 years old and I like fast songs because they make me happy, like it's wholesome life.
Hi, my name is David. I'm 7 years old and I love Chassidus and Nagunim because they make me feel really good.
Hello, my name is Mimi and I'm 4 years old and my favorite kind of music is fast because it makes me dance a lot and I like Yaakov Shlaki.
My name is Rachel and I'm 5 years old and my favorite music is Moshe Pila and I love it.
My name is Etim and I'm 10 years old and I like the song Zayakantan because it's very jumpy. Bye.
Hi, I'm 5 and a half. I like Vinocho by 8 and Cats because it makes me feel like Mashiach is coming.
Hi, my name is Moshe Ezra and I'm 7 years old and I like Abishter by Baruch Levine because it makes me feel very happy.
My name is Abby, and I'm 3 years old. I like Yama by Benny Friedman, and it's such a happy song.
For our first interview today, I interviewed a superstar named Molly Berg, who is already pretty well known if you're a girl who is lucky enough to be able to listen to her music on the Thank You Hashem Nashim Tzirkanios album. She has a song called The Friendship Song, and also she just released a song for her bas mitzvah, and they're both available on Spotify and other listening places, so please check them out because they are so catchy and sophisticated and inspiring. I was so excited to meet the young woman behind composing, writing, singing, and playing on her guitar these songs. My interview with Molly did not disappoint. I am so happy that we had this conversation, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it and get inspired from her incredible words of wisdom for all of us. And just like at a baseball game, we are going to play her walk-up tunes. I'm here with Molly. We have a lot to talk about today. Molly, why don't you introduce yourself to all our awesome listeners?
So my name is Molly Berg, and I live in Hollywood, Florida. I play guitar since I was 6, and I composed 2 songs that are on Spotify.
Wow, quite an introduction. Just for people who don't know Florida so well, what's Hollywood close to? Is it close to Miami?
It's close to North Miami Beach, like 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm. It's hot here. I mean, I'm in Baltimore and today it was like, I think 99 degrees. What was it like by you? I could only imagine.
Yeah, it's very hot.
What do you do to stay cool?
I stay inside in the air conditioning.
Smart kid. I'm with you. Team air conditioning. I'm going to start at the beginning because you're 12. What grade does that make you in?
7th.
7th. Awesome. Okay, so first of all, good luck on the new school year. Was today or yesterday your first day?
Yeah, yesterday.
Hatzlacha. And today we're not really going to talk so much about school starting. We're going to talk about the new year starting because obviously school starts September time. But what happens at the same time when school starts is also the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot. So it's always interesting that like all of that starts at the same time. And this year we don't have so much time to get ready for those special days, right? It was just the summer. You ran back to school and then all of a sudden we have Rosh Hashanah coming up. But we're not only going to talk about Rosh Hashanah right now. Obviously, we have a totally different topic, but you're going to see how it's going to all come together very nicely. So Molly, I want to hear about your music because I love music and I'm sure you do too. Tell me about like when you started music, what made you appreciate it?
So when I was 6 years old, I don't know why, I just asked my parents if I can play guitar. And it was a very young age. I don't know why I wanted to, but I just asked my parents and they said yes. And they found me a teacher. And then I started getting the hang of it.
6 years old is super young to start guitar. I know that. Just a very technical question. Like, how did it fit? You're like a small body. Did you have a special size?
So I had like a tiny little guitar. I still have it, tiny, very, very small, because I was only 6, and it was very hard for me to play because I had tiny little fingers, but I was persistent.
Amazing. I love the word persistent. That's awesome. I happen to know a little bit about you because I saw a really, really beautiful video that you made for your bas mitzvah. My sister is married to somebody named Berg, who's your cousin. Do you know that?
Yeah.
My sister knows how much I am always looking for incredible kids. And she's like, you have to see this video of Ellie's cousin. And I was like, oh my gosh, this girl is amazing. And you're singing this song. And you'll tell us more about the bas mitzvah song soon. But in the beginning, you talked about yourself and you said about how you got too good for your teacher. Is that true?
Yeah.
So you said it much nicer. You said your teacher said you're ready for the next level.
Yeah. So my teacher, she was like teaching me songs and then I was figuring them out by ear, like without her needing to teach me them. And I was figuring out chords and how to play stuff myself. So she
without
told
using
my mother.
Notes, without following the paper.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So she told my mother. And one day, I don't think I should teach her anymore. She should move on to a little bit of a better teacher. So this guitar teacher is teaching me now. My guitar teacher, my old one's teacher. My guitar teacher
is
guitar
teacher. Oh, so your old guitar teacher's teacher is now teaching you.
Yeah.
Wow. How does that make you feel?
It's crazy because he taught her, she taught me, and now he's teaching me.
Oh, crazy.
You probably could give lessons yourself, at least for sure for the chords and stuff, no?
Yeah.
Have you ever given lessons before?
I did a kumzitz in 4th and 5th grade, and a few girls loved it so much they asked me. They're like, they started playing guitar because of me. And
wow.
Like, and girls are like, oh, wow, Molly, can you give me lessons? And I'm like, no, I'm not good enough. But now I got much better.
Did you?
But no, I never did. But
okay, because 4th and 5th grade was like 3 years ago. Right.
Yeah. But now I'm in 7th, but I still don't.
You'll get there. Maybe in high school.
Yeah.
If you want to. Well, okay. Well, tell me, what's a kumzitz? Could you tell us what a kumzitz is?
So we sit together like outside in like a big circle and we sing like Shabbos songs.
And you've done it in school. Have you done it anywhere else?
So in a Pesach program, I also do a kumzitz. I go to Pesach program.
So how did that happen? Like, they just knew you were there or you offered it?
No, so my uncle owns it.
Okay.
So I play there.
He knew that you could do it, so he's like, do you want to lead a program for everybody?
Yeah, he said, do you want to lead a kumzitz?
Your uncle asked you if you would lead a kumzitz for kids and adults?
Yeah.
Wow. Were you nervous about that?
A little bit in the beginning, and I looked at, like, the videos from, like, then and, like, later, and yeah. It's crazy how I got better. I kept looking at my guitar, like, I didn't look out in the crowd, and then when I got older, I started looking out and, like, didn't have to focus, like, only look at my guitar to practice playing.
You were looking at your guitar during the kumzitz because you were nervous you were going to get it wrong?
Yeah.
I could imagine a lot of kids feeling really, like, intimidated. Like, there's grown-ups here, there's people older than me, like,
yeah.
Is that weird?
It was a little weird, and I wasn't used to it.
Right.
Especially because it was only for my class, the other kumzitz, or like
right.
Even the grade in fifth grade. So
right, you're more comfortable.
I wasn't used to it, but then
good
I
for
got
you.
Used to it.
Would you call yourself more like a confident kid before that, or this? You think you became more confident after these experiences?
I became more confident. I never had stage fright. Like, I was, like, a little nervous, because even if you don't have a stage fright, you will, like, be nervous, whether you have stage fright or not. It's a scary thing being up, like, in front of everyone.
Right, that's totally normal. That's just, I get nervous. I get nervous before interviewing somebody new on a podcast. But then you get used to it. Once you do anything, you could get used to something. Now, let's go back for a minute. So you play guitar, but we also know that you write songs. It's really more than a singer and songwriter. It's a singer and a songwriter and a musician. Right?
Yeah.
It's like all three.
When I compose songs, what's easiest for me is making up a tune, but words is what's hard for me.
Words in songwriter language is called lyrics.
Yeah.
Does anyone help you when you need to write the words to a song?
So the friendship song, I did it with a teacher. She helped me with the words. And the Thank You Hashem song, the Bas Mitzvah song. Sorry, it's not called Thank You Hashem, just in the song it says Thank You Hashem. So
yeah, that's like the high part, yeah.
Yeah, but the Bas Mitzvah song, my aunt helped me with it, with the words.
Mm. What's your aunt's name?
Cheryl.
You know why I'm asking you that?
Why?
Because I remember you gave her a shout out in your video. That's my name. I'm Cheryl. Moritziri, my name is Cheryl. I don't know so many Cheryls. It's fun to find out about another one. So shout out to your aunt and your teacher who helped you. That's amazing. So you come up with a tune. Like, does the tune pop in your head? How do you just like think of a tune? Like, did you strum your guitar and think of it? Like, where did it come from?
So I choose the chords first that I want to do for the song. And then from that, I form the tune. It doesn't just pop into my head. I have to sit down and play the chords a few times, like again and again until it comes to me.
Wow. So with all this persistence, like you said, you use that word persistence when it's like hard in the beginning and then you try and try and try. Do you feel like there's ever times that you just want to give up and you're like, this is getting annoying. I can't get it. This chord is too hard. Like, what's a hard one? Like the F chord is hard, right? Like,
so bar chords, there's something called the bar chord where you use your finger and press down on the whole fret. Do you know what a fret is?
Like, I only know what a fret is because my daughter, Devorah, who's a little bit younger than you, plays guitar since she's 7 and now she's 9. So what is a fret? You want to explain it or it's too complicated?
It's too complicated.
Yeah, whatever. So yeah, the fret. Continue. That was
so
hard.
So you have to use your whole finger to press down all the 6 strings on that fret, plus to add more fingers on the other fret. It's very, very complicated, and there's all different types. And every one is like, some are harder, some are easier. And it took me so long to get it. Like, it took me like a year, maybe more, to get it. And I kept trying, and I said I was so frustrated. I kept saying, I don't want to do it anymore. I can't. It's so annoying. And it was annoying to practice. Till you get it, you don't enjoy playing. Till you're able to play chords or bar chords or whatever you're playing, it's not fun. Even when I learn a new song, let's say, that is like hard. I'm not used to where I have to stretch a lot. When I'm practicing, I don't enjoy it, but after it's the results, I feel so good and accomplished.
Wow, you articulated that so beautifully. It's a very like unique experience that you're having. Is this 6 years already that you've been playing?
Yeah.
So for 6 years, you've already been at it. Obviously, you came a long way and you've built on your talent tons. And it sounds like you worked really hard and you also seem to have a natural talent. Like you said, even people who practice and practice and practice and practice sometimes cannot play by ear. That's a gift. Being able to just play without notes is a gift from Hashem.
It's a gift from Hashem.
Everything's a gift, but that's like a real gift. When I see people who can just pick up an instrument and play, it's just such a beautiful thing. And I think what's nice about a guitar is like you can move it around with you, right?
Yeah. Like, it's not like a piano. Mm-hmm. Where you have to like have it there, like unless even a keyboard is not so portable, you have to put it in like this huge case. It's very heavy.
Charge it, outlet, whatever.
Yeah.
But with a guitar, you're always tuning it, right? Tuning is like a big
That's
thing.
That's true. And there's electric guitars where you have to plug it into an amp, and the amp is very heavy, and then the amp has to be plugged into the wall.
Right. Into well, the outlet, do you play electric guitar?
Yeah, both.
Cool. Did you pick that up like recently or you've been doing that also a while?
So with my new guitar teacher, like I started electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, my guitar teacher's teacher.
Yeah. So, your new one. We know.
Yeah. With him, I like started electric guitar. I used to not because that's like the next level, like an electric guitar. Like some people don't learn electric guitar and only acoustic, but if you want to become very good and like into not only like the same like strums or chords, you go to electric and you play solos and
wow.
You go to the
I
next
mean, the
level.
Only the only electric guitar experience I have is playing Guitar Hero at Chuck E. Cheese. You know that game?
Yeah.
You've played it before?
The last time I went to Chuck E. Cheese was a long time ago.
Oh, you're missing out. You're missing out. You follow, like, the picture. I don't actually know how to play guitar. I mean, I don't know how to play any guitar, but Guitar Hero is fun. I don't usually get it. I usually fail, but I like doing it anyways. It's fun. Before we get to the next part of our conversation, which is going to be a really special segment, I want to ask you to tell us, you wrote a song for your bas mitzvah. It's called the Bas Mitzvah Song, right?
Yeah.
Did you write it for anybody special in particular or just on the occasion of your bas mitzvah? What was like the story behind that song?
It was for the occasion of my bas mitzvah, but what was hard was normally I just compose songs like randomly. It's very hard for me to like have a deadline on making a song because it has to come while I'm playing like the chords, and sometimes I play and like it doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't know what I want to write the song about. This I knew I had the chorus before I had like the words to the rest of the song. I knew right. I wanted it to be about thanking Hashem.
Where did the idea of thanking Hashem stem from?
So my mother is very grateful to Hashem. She says Nishmas every day and it really inspires me. So I try to also, but she's more on top of it than I am. She like wow. almost never misses a day.
Can you tell our listeners about Nishmas? Why Nishmas? And do you know any background to that?
It's to thank Hashem for everything he does. People say like you're supposed to say it for 40 days,
mm-hmm.
but my mother says it like the whole year, like every day.
Wow. That's so beautiful that you're like trying to emulate that, you know, copy that. She's such a good role model for you. When I was bas mitzvah a long time ago, so it's interesting that you're saying because you're bas mitzvah age. When I was bas mitzvah, my father took me to Israel for my bas mitzvah present. Just me and him. We went to visit a very special lady named Rabbitzin Kanievsky. Do you ever hear of her?
Yeah.
Rav Chaim Kanievsky's wife, Rabbitzin Batsheva Kanievsky. And I was a little girl. I was 12. I mean, big, but much younger than I am now. My father took me to say hello to her and get a bracha. And he told her it's her bas mitzvah. And she got so excited because apparently she loved bas mitzvah girls. And she kissed me from head to toe. I'll never forget how loving she was, smooching me on my cheeks. I felt so special in that moment. Can you imagine? Like the biggest Rabbitzin. She was like, a bat mitzvah, bat mitzvah. And she was like kissing me. And like, I'm like this little shy girl, whatever. And she's like, I need to get something. She was saying in Hebrew. She said, I need to get her a matana. Matana is a present in Hebrew. I need to get her matana. I need to get her present. What present is she going to give me? She went to like a special place, and she took out this like sefer, a little sefer that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, her husband, wrote about chesed, and she wrote inside a whole letter to me. Like, she sat down for like a long time writing a letter to me in Hebrew, which at the time I didn't like appreciate, but recently I found it. Actually, I still have it, and I was like reading through it, and she signed her name and the whole thing about my bas mitzvah and how I should learn the sefer or whatever. And she told us afterwards that you should say nishmas. She said you should say nishmas every day. And when we came home from Eretz Yisrael, my father printed the tefillah of nishmas on a card. You know, like how when you go to bas mitzvah, you get like a bencher or whatever, like from your friend. Yeah. It says like bas mitzvah of whatever. So at my bas mitzvah, we gave out nishmas to every single girl who came. And I talked about nishmas. And I talked about my experience with Robertson Kanievsky. And I gave out nishmas to everyone. I hope it made a difference in somebody's life. But I still have those cards. I have them still in my house. I saved some of them. I mean, I don't have all of them, but, you know, some extra.
I also gave out for my bas mitzvah nishmas cards.
No way.
In the shape of guitars.
It's so funny. It's crazy. I have chills. That's like, it's weird. I don't know. Like, it's not like a common thing, no?
Yeah. Normally people give out like Shema cards or like.
Yeah.
Bench shirt, like something else. But like nishmas, yeah. Like I went to like. I don't even think another bas mitzvah. Like, I've been to a lot of bas mitzvahs.
Wow. We have a connection, Molly.
Yeah.
Your parents were like in your music video and your brother, your whole family, right?
Yeah. So
what was that like?
It was weird to me, especially because I've never been in front of a camera before. For speech in the beginning, it was the hardest thing. The music part wasn't the hard part. It was the speaking, because I'm not used to being in front of a camera. And I was like, there's just like a little thing pointing at me, and I was just like more shy in the beginning, and then like I got used to it. But it wow. took a lot of takes, a lot.
Yeah, filming something, like when you were filming the whole production of your music video that you made, and then you showed that music video at the party?
Yeah.
Wow, must have been very meaningful.
Yeah.
What did people think afterwards? Did anybody like come over and say something?
Yeah, everyone thought it was so special, and it was also nice that I, like, did a song about thanking Hashem, and I gave out Nishmas cards. It was, like, yeah. connected, and everyone
was, like,
loved
the theme.
It. Yeah, and it was wow. so special.
I would love to get one of your Nishmas cards. Do you have any of them?
Yeah, I have a lot left, because we put on each, like, seat, but each
right,
family
but people
took,
didn't
so
take.
Have,
right, yeah, that's how, there's yeah, always so, extras. Oh, so maybe only, so only one. I'll send you my address.
Okay, I will.
I would love to get into that habit of saying Nishmas. I don't know if I could commit to every day, but your mother sounds like a great role model for me too. So Molly, tell me now about your thank you Hashem. So obviously there's a theme here. You love thanking Hashem, and it sounds like you're very connected to Hashem. But thank you Hashem, like the organization, it's like a thing, thank you Hashem. They made a CD for women and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And on the CD is like all different popular Jewish lady singers. Like who's on the CD?
Bracha Jaffe, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of other people.
A lot of people. And they're all like probably much older than you. How did you get to be on this album? What was
so
the connection?
Shimi Adar also sang in the song. And she was on my Pesach program. And she saw me perform. And so she, I think, contacted Thank You Hashem. Mm-hmm. And then they called my parents and they asked me if I want to give them, because I played that song at the Kumsitz. And they asked me if
I
would
song,
give it
the
to,
song that you put on the album, she heard and she's like, that's a good song.
Yeah. And they asked me if they can put it on their album. And I didn't have to sing it again. They had my vocals already in the song. They just had to add Shimi Adara and this other girl whose also name is Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even have to do anything. It was
oh,
like
so you had already recorded the song on your own,
yeah.
like in Florida somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they said, could we use it on our album? And then they'll add in Shimi Adar. Were you okay with the song being changed and everything?
So in the beginning, it, like when I first listened to it, I'm like, whoa, it's really different. My original was only me playing. And it was in, I composed it in fourth grade and recorded it. So I wasn't that good then. So it sounded very different from simple to like, a whole, like, it sounded like a real song.
They made, like, a remix, basically.
Yeah.
That's
so
hysterical.
In the beginning, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's so different. But then now I really love
one
it.
One second.
Like,
so the vocals, your voice in the song, in the friendship song, is you in fourth grade?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So my voice also now, like the song, if you listen to them, you could tell it's by the same person, but like my voice changed.
Right.
I sounded different, much older. Yeah.
It's so interesting. Okay. Well, it's a really, really great song and it's so catchy. I listen to it a million times. You know, when we play it when we're on like a family trip and my husband falls asleep in the car. And then we're like, quick, put on the lady music. We were on a road trip and like, we're like, okay, quickly, app is sleeping. Put on all the like, you know, all the girls, put on Molly Burke. So we listen to the friendship song and then we just, it's so catchy. Like it's, if anyone listening here did not hear the friendship song or the Bas Mitzvah song, you should definitely look them up. They're both such catchy, like they're simple tunes to remember and to sing. That's what I love about them. They're just fun and like kid friendly and like just great, good times. I'm totally like floored by your talent and your persistence and your attitude toward your music, toward life, your willingness to like get up in front of a crowd and do a kumzitz. And look at that. Like, I feel like that was like a, we call it a ripple effect, right? Like when you do one thing, like you went out of your comfort zone a little bit, let's say, to like perform in front of a crowd at a Pesach program. And then, you know, somebody in the audience and Shimi Adar happened to be there and she's pretty well connected. So she goes and says, you got to be in touch with Thank You Hashem. And then they want your song. And like, that's really great. One thing that I could imagine would be hard for me if I was you was just trying to like focus on like schoolwork and like just remembering that like life has to go on because you're still 12 years old, right?
Yeah. So what's also hard is like I don't have my own studio and that like people who are older like have their own, like it's easier and like they're older, they're not busy with school. It's like much harder like with school and especially like now middle school, not like elementary anymore. And I've like more homework and more tests. I try to practice a lot, especially like on Sundays. Sometimes I practice for like 3 hours just to get it in if I don't practice so much during the week because I'm so busy with school.
Wow. But don't give it up. You have to keep at it, right? Just enough to like keep you growing, just always getting better little by little, right? Let's shift gears for a second. If you're listening now, when this comes out, it's right before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah's in the house tonight. Right before Rosh Hashanah, which comes Yom Kippur right afterwards. And the days in between are called Asaras Yemei Teshuvah, right? 10 days where we're supposed to be like working on ourselves. And one of the ways that I personally connect with that time is through music. Like I listen to songs that help me like connect to doing teshuvah and songs that help me get in the zone for, and really like, even if you go to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's all about singing, right? It's all about singing and connecting to Hashem. And of course, when we have the Beis HaMikdash, which I hope will be here by the time we release this episode, like I always say, but like, the whole Beis HaMikdash is filled with singing as well, right? And music and Levium. So music is a very like Jewish concept, right? Singing and music and connect. It's a very unique way of connecting to Hashem. And for a lot of us, it's our main way. What does that mean to you? Do you have any thoughts on that?
So I feel that I like inspiring other people and playing like very hard to go songs. And I love when after I do a kumzitz and people come over to me and they're like, I want to learn guitar because of you. Like, so special. People are like, wow, like,
wow,
you're making people happy. That's what Hashem wants you to do, to make people happy.
That's beautiful. I'm sure you make so many people smile. Do you have a favorite song that is Harzig, like you said, Harzig and Niggin? Like, what's your go-to? What's the best kumzitz song that makes people happy?
I think Kikaro, because it's just easy to sing along to and it's very like catchy. Kikaro. The chorus is just like it's not words, you know? So, but then.
And by the way, what do you think about that? The fact that the chorus, the high part of Kikarov, is just a lot of nine, 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 nine. Like, there's no words. Like,
but it makes like people don't only have to be connected through words, because even sometimes words, people don't understand what they mean. Not everyone knows Hebrew, but just they, everyone feels they're singing together, ba'achtas, and
wow. I heard a Eitan Katz speaking about the song, and he said that specifically that song is so beautiful because when people are singing the high part over and over and over again and there's no words, they're just all like thinking of their own like davening and tefillahs and connecting to Hashem in their own words because there's no words. Know what I'm saying? So if you're if you're saying words, even if whether you understand the words or whether you do not understand the words, fine, whatever, that's great. But when you could have like a niggun that just gets you feeling and making your heart like burst and you're just repeating it over and over and over again, you could literally keep your eyes open, keep your eyes closed, whatever, squeeze somebody's hands next to you in the kumzitz and then just like daven your heart out for whatever you want, like at that moment, and just or not even say anything or think anything, just feel the connection to everybody and Hashem, who's like so clearly in the room. Kumzitzes are like not normal. They're like, I would love to be at one of your kumzitzes. Could you invite me to your Pesach program? That would be like a real treat. What message would you give to other kids who might be learning an instrument or trying something new, difficult in any area? What message would you give to those kids?
That to always keep trying, and it may be frustrating, but you should stay persistent and keep going. And even if you can't do it, you're still amazing in so many other ways.
That's beautiful. What are your hopes for you? What is your greatest wish for yourself?
That through my songs, people get inspired and really come closer to Hashem.
Wow. So well said. Do you have any singers that you look up to particularly?
Or so like there's a lot of from? Singers. Eitan Katz is one of them.
Good choice.
I think he's my main one that I really love his songs. I love how he plays guitar and it gets just everyone his, like how he plays it. Everyone's always like into it and everyone loves it.
Mm-hmm. This is true. People need this. People need this. Whether they realize it or not, people need that connection, and guitars and singing and real energy like that could do that for people. It's a magical thing. That's a great role model to have. And it sounds like your parents are great role models for you. And hopefully you'll come across many teachers that will be great role models for you. And just keep growing and keep connecting and inspiring. I mean, I'm super inspired right now by all of these messages that you're saying. And I can tell that you believe them. I can tell that you live it. It's really, really special. Wow. Okay, Molly, what's next? Do you have any new songs in the work?
So far not. I just started school yesterday and I already have a report due.
Oh my goodness, school got to work.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, they start seventh grade with a bang.
Yeah, a big bang. But I hope to compose many more songs and inspire many more people.
Wow. Well, may Hashem give you the koach, because, you know, it's all talent. Like we said, you have a gift from Hashem, but Hashem has to constantly give you that gift, right? So you need siyata deshmaya, right? Special help from Hashem for everything, but also, you know, for this as well. My daughter Devorah is here. Come here, Dee. She wants to meet you. I told her she has to wait till the end. This is Dee.
Hi.
This is Devorah. And Devorah is my daughter who plays guitar. And did you practice yet tonight?
No.
You're going to go do it now?
Maybe.
Can you tell Devorah to practice?
I used to hate practicing. I never used to want to do it. But you have to do it to get better. And once you get better, you feel so accomplished and good.
Do you have any questions for Molly? Because she's like a few years ahead of you. Devorah's going to steal the mic for a second, okay?
When you grow up, do you want to like be a performer on stage?
So actually, I want to be a lawyer, but maybe as a side job.
That's an interesting job.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you want to be a lawyer?
It happens to be that my mother wanted to be a lawyer, but she never was. And I don't know, the job interests me.
Cool. Dream big, Molly. Dream big. Okay, Deborah, anything else you want to ask?
Well, back to regular programming. Molly, it's been such a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for this meaningful conversation. I hope that you have a kesiva v'chasima tova and a happy sweet new year, right? To quote the song, L'shana tova umesuka.
L'shana tova umesuka. Have a happy sweet new year.
Thank you for coming and joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a kesiva v'chasima tova. Bye.
Amen. Bye. Attention families, teachers. Today I'm going to tell you about a brand new, hot off the press, Mosaica Press, book called 1001 Fun Facts About Israel. Israel, Eretz Yisrael, is our special land filled with history, exciting adventure, known throughout the entire world for so many important discoveries and things till this very day. In this book, your kids, your students will embark on this amazing journey through captivating historical facts to modern day current information, fascinating tradition, mind-blowing discoveries that will make learning about Israel an unforgettable experience. Now, as a parent, I'm always looking for ways to spark my kids' interest in the world. I want them to know about our land. Most of my own kids have never been to Israel before. I hope that changes. But in the meantime, I want them to feel passionately about it, to understand that that's really where we belong. I was surfing through the book. One of the later chapters is titled Weird, Wacky, and Wonderful. And come on, if you know me, that's the one I jump to. So I'll read you a couple of facts from that chapter because that's what makes me excited. In Israel, a lot of people use buses. So one of the facts here says the buses in Israel transport 900,000 passengers every day. That's just short of a million. Skipping around, I see here it talks about El Al. El Al is the airline company that travels to Israel. It says the words El Al mean to the above or to the skies. I never thought about that before. El Al does not fly on Shabbos. Something about Bisli, that yummy snack that's made by Osem, is the leading snack in Israel, after Bamba, of course. And other some fun facts about Bamba. Anyways, go to mosaicapress.com and you will be treated to 18% off if you use our promo code KIDS18. KIDS18, 18% off of your purchase of the entire Mosaica Press website. You heard that right. So all of the books that you've been thinking about buying, and if you don't even know that you know yet because you haven't checked it out yet, go onto the Mosaica Press website right now and stock up on all of the books you need for this Yontif season and beyond with our code KIDS18. And don't forget to buy this awesome new book, 1001 Facts About Israel. It's now time to hear from our next guest, Shmuel. Shmuel is going to tell you about his musical interests and what he enjoys about music, which instruments he plays, and about his commitment to music, and also talk about the struggle. Like, it's really hard. People who play instruments, sometimes you're inspired to continue. Sometimes you feel like you had enough, and it's okay. It's all normal, and he's going to show how that's totally normal and a little bit about his story. And it's also just so crazy because you're going to hear a little thing about Rosh Hashanah that has a lot to do with Shmuel that I did not see coming. I love getting surprised in the interviews, as you know already. So without further ado, here is the incredible Shmuel. Hello, I'm here with Shmuel. Shmuel, can you introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. Hi, I'm Shmuel Kasoy, and I live in Baltimore, and I'm 9 years old, and I go to TA, and I really like it. And my rabbi is Rabbi Slansky, and I like it.
That's awesome. What grade are you in?
Fourth.
Okay, fourth grade. They say it's hard. Has it been hard on you so far?
No, it's actually very easy.
Well, you just started, right?
Right.
Okay, well,
it might
good
get
luck.
Harder through the year.
Probably. I'm sure they don't give you the hardest stuff in the first few days. It's a good thing. But I love hearing that kids love school, so that's amazing. And today, I invited you on to Incredible Kids for a very special reason, and we have a lot to talk about. But first, I have a question for you, Shmuel. Shmuel, can you tell our listeners how and when I met you the first time?
Well, I met you in Kosher Bite, actually, right?
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. What happened in Kosher Bite? And what is Kosher Bite?
Kosher Bite's a restaurant, and I went there one time, and I saw you there, and you had your daughter and all her friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw you interview a worker at the restaurant, mm-hmm. right?
And that's then, right.
And then you took a video of me, and you told me about Incredible Kids.
That's right. And at that time, did you know who I was before?
No, I didn't.
No. If you're not from Baltimore, a lot of people think, oh, Baltimore, it's just like small out-of-town place. And everyone probably knows each other and probably, right? People think that. Mm-hmm. At least I get that all the time. They'll say, oh, Baltimore, you probably know my cousins. And a lot of times I don't, because what people don't realize is that Baltimore's
very big.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And there's a lot of people. So you and I had never met. We had just started Incredible Kids. We only had a few episodes out.
I remember you told me about it, and then you showed me on the phone podcast.
Right. I showed my mother's phone and how you could listen to the podcast. Right. And then what happened? Then I didn't see you for a few months.
After I came home from Kosher Bite, I started listening before I went to sleep, and I listened all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like that day? Like that night?
That night, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Cool. Someone's having a house.
Like, I'm inspired. A complete stranger. And then you were hooked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I paying you to say this?
No.
This is a true story. And then Shmuel sees me and he's like, remember me? And I'm like, I think so. How do I know you? And you're like, I'm the guy from Kosher Bite. And now I know all the podcast episodes. And you were like telling me stuff from episodes that you knew like by heart. And like, remember, you knew like all these details. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is the boy from Kosher Bite.
Whoa!
Shmuel, I want to tell you something. Because of that success, like some people think I'm crazy. Like I'll go over to families and say, hey, do you guys want to hear a really cool thing for kids? And I don't know if they're actually going to listen, you know, like they might just like roll their eyes and be like, who is that person? But people like you actually listened. And so I was in Muncie this week and I saw a boy around your age and I was like, you look like an incredible kid with his mother. Cause I would never just talk to kids by themselves. It's good to not talk to strangers. Just like I did with you. I opened up his mother's phone and she was like scrolling through. And she was like, oh my gosh, whoa, this looks amazing. So listen, he might be listening. So hey there, if you're listening, right? Like you never know. So that's right. Why we got to tell all our friends about it. And then you came to me and said, Moritz Siri, I want to be on the podcast because I play not one instrument, but more than one instrument. How many do you play?
Piano and cello. Well, right. I used to play cello.
Before we get into like the specific instruments, piano and cello, you said, tell me about like music. What does music mean to you? How did you first get interested in playing different kinds of music?
Well, music is very good because it brings your like life. It's like very hard to explain, but it's like powerful. It gets close to you.
Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to explain, but what do you mean by powerful? Try
powerful,
to explain.
But it brings you close to Hashem music. Whenever you listen to Jewish music and you listen to the music, the words especially, it like brings you close to Hashem.
Wow. Is there a specific kind of music that makes you feel that way?
Like Yaakov Shweki, his kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific style of his music that you like? Because someone like Yaakov Shweki actually sings, he could sing rock style and classical style.
Or
and
slow.
All different.
Or slow.
Cry no more, Yerushalayim.
I think slow like style. The slow, sad musics make you like emotional.
Mm-hmm. Do you like to feel that way? Like when you get into that zone, like what's that feeling like for you?
The feeling is it can make you emotional, but also like a good feeling also at the same time.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be emotional?
Like sad.
But it's like a different kind of sadness, right? Not all the time when somebody's emotional are they like sad about something that's like making them feel horrible. Sometimes, mm-hmm. like you said, it could actually be a good thing. It's like an interesting thing, right? Like some people will watch a video and it will make them cry. But it's not they're not scared. It's not like it's hurting them. It's just like a cry that sometimes actually feels
good.
Makes you feel like clean a little bit or just like, you know, like connected. Connected to Hashem, connected to your feelings.
Elevated too. Like
elevated. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What a word!
Which song just popped in your brain right now when I said that?
Rebowing by Barry Weber.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. Wow, that's crazy. That's my favorite song.
Really?
Okay, I know I always say everything's my favorite everything, and it's like a problem because It's like that song, especially, and I can't believe you're saying this. Shmuel, this is crazy. I have in my notes here, I have a little notebook with me where I write down like what I want to say during the episode. And one of the things I wrote down is that I want to talk about my favorite song, Reborn by Barry Weber. I'll tell you why. Because during this time, we'll just jump right into it. This episode is coming out right before Rosh Hashanah. And I pick this time like because I know that music has that power like you talked about. And I don't want anyone to be like sad. You know, you're not supposed to be sad on Rosh Hashanah. It's not a sad time. It's a serious time. So it's really appropriate to talk about music because music brings us to that elevated state. Like you just said, like feeling high and close to Hashem and close to ourselves and understanding ourselves. And the song Reborn, when I was a kindergarten teacher, I made up a song because I love that song. And me and if you're a deep kind of person and you understand what you're singing and you understand the words, they're in Hebrew. Ribon kol ha'olamim lo al tzirkasinu anachnu, right? He says a little bit of English, right? Mm-hmm. What's the words? Not upon good deeds.
Right.
We talk about Hashem's mercy on us. Like, we just need Hashem. Like, we could do teshuva, we could cry, we could daven, we could beg Hashem. But at the end of the day, we just need Hashem to love us and accept us for who we are, right? For our little changes that we do. And we're begging Hashem. So I was like, I want my kindergarten kids to understand this song, but it's all in Hebrew, basically. And they don't really understand it. It's a pretty tune. So I changed the words to English. So every year we would sing this song. I can't say, I wish I could sing it to you, but the words are, Hashem, we have one request. We tried our hardest to do our best, but we need you to now we need you to judge the rest. And only because you are so great and you love us, you're our Father, and you never close the gate. Even if we fall and make a big mistake, you let us do tshuva, it's not too late. Those are the words.
Nice words.
And those are words that all kids could understand, obviously. And you had to see the kids singing it. Oh my gosh, when my students would sing it, I was bawling every time. And they also, I promise you, my students were crying. I saw children crying from those words because everybody needs that connection to Hashem when you hear that song. So thank you for bringing that up before I did. I can't believe it. Okay, so tell me. So Reborn from Barry Weber is a beautiful song. Were you at the Barry Weber concert when he came to Baltimore a few years ago?
I saw him in Uman, Ukraine.
You've been to Uman?
Of course.
Of course. How would I know that? That's cool.
So cool.
You went for Rosh Hashanah or just something else?
Rosh Hashanah.
Who took you?
My father and my older brother.
That's special. Wow. How long ago was this?
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
That's amazing. Tell us about that.
Well, now we can't go because of the war, right? So.
Makes it more challenging because Uman, so let's just tell our listeners, Uman is in Ukraine. A lot of people go for Rosh Hashanah to where? Tell us.
Poland, and then they go on a train to Uman. Because you can't fly direct to Ukraine. I know.
Plane to train. So why Uman? Why are people going there, Rosh Hashanah? Tell me.
Because Rabbi Nachman's buried there, his kever, and he told the people to come to him on Rosh Hashanah.
There's probably tons of people there, right?
Tons. Thousands.
Did you like that? Do you like big crowds?
Well, I got lost once.
Why?
I found myself back like 2 minutes, but yeah.
But for those 2 minutes, it was probably scary.
It was very scary.
Oh my gosh. What was it like to be there for Rosh Hashanah?
Well, we stayed in an apartment. It was very small. So we rented out like this hotel and there was other Jews there at the Seuda. So like it was like one big Kiddush meal.
Well, that's very different than your regular Shabbos meal or Yontif meal at home, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's so many people that everyone has a different arrangement.
Right. Different places. So much different plans.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about the singing there. Was it like crazy?
Well, we had a show and Barry Weber was our chazan.
Lucky you.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Wow, that's really cool. And did you get to meet him?
Yeah, I took a picture with him. I'll show you.
I would love to see it. So that's amazing. That's such a cool experience. I mean, you were also very young. How old were you then? You said it was like 3 years ago?
7.
Were you like the youngest person there?
Yeah, one of the youngest.
Wow. So you were 7 years old and you sat through all the davening and everything?
Yeah, it was like 6 hours davening. It was really hard for me. But we went with our family friend and he had like a boy. His name was Asher Shmuel. And he like took me some places during the davening.
Oh, okay. So you were entertained a little bit. It's very hard for a 7-year-old boy. It's hard for anybody to sit through davening, but a 7-year-old boy, it's very difficult, right? But it's so special. It's so special that you were able to like appreciate it. A lot of kids be like, this is so boring, whatever. But like you have that appreciation for music. So for you, it was probably very inspiring.
Yeah, it was.
There's all different types of people that go to Uman. Like what kind of people do you see?
Hasidish, Litvish, Svartan, Breslov.
All types?
All types of people. Yidden.
That's beautiful. So many types of Yidden. So tell me about your music. Which instrument did you start with?
I started with piano. When I was 5 years old. And my mother, she said that she wants me to play piano. Mm-hmm. Because everyone had an instrument in my family. And then I wanted to start an instrument. So I decided piano.
Do you have like a musical family? Everyone
plays.
Mm-hmm. What other instruments do you have in the family?
Violin. And piano. And my father plays guitar. And my older brother also plays guitar.
Do you ever all get together and have a jam session?
On Hanukkah. Ba'al Ma'atzur and all those songs.
Having music in the home is something that's very, very, very important and special. So you started at 5. 5 is very young. Was that like something that you were excited about in the beginning?
I was excited, but like after 2 years, I quit because I wasn't so serious at that time. But then I came back to the same teacher and then I meant more serious there. And then I continued till now.
Was it hard to get back into it? Like after you quit and came back?
Well, it was a year after quitting.
Mm-hmm.
Since quitting.
And then when did you start playing cello?
Cello was last year. I started Baltimore Bows.
The Baltimore Bows. What is the Baltimore Bows?
It's an orchestra.
How old are the people in it?
Maybe ages 8 through 12. It's written by Jonathan Greenberg. Let's give a shout out to him.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And the kids in Baltimore Bows, when do you practice? Like when are the lessons? Are you in a group?
Yeah, it's a group. We all play like first there's like a cello lesson for all like the cello players. Meanwhile, the violins or violas are playing in their different room and then we get together to play all together at the end of the lesson.
Interesting. So what is a cello? It's not an instrument that most kids know about.
It's a big violin. It's not like you play it over here, you play it over here. Like, this is the bow.
Yeah, so a violin you would play higher up, like on your shoulder, right? You hold the violin with one hand, and then you use the bow, which is like the stick,
right?
With your other hand. But the cello, it's much bigger, obviously, and you hold, and you do the, what's it called when you do this? What's that called? It's not like, is there a word for it? Strumming? Like, what is that?
Oh, playing.
Playing?
Normal playing, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. And then you play the cello lower down,
right, it's lower
with
down.
Your bow.
With your bow.
Is it like bigger than you?
It's like up to my eyes, maybe.
Up to your eyes. Okay, that's humongous.
It is pretty.
One time I was on the plane and there was an orchestra on the plane and a guy brought his cello on the plane because he didn't want to like stick it under, get it ruined because... Exactly, cargo, then you're never going to see your cello again. It's going to be like smashed, like my stroller. Every time we travel, we break another stroller. So they don't want that to happen to their expensive instrument. So he literally has to buy a seat for his cello next to him on the plane because it's like as big as a person.
Wow.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay,
so you have this humongous cello and you would schlep it to this lesson every time back and forth.
Yeah, it is very heavy and big.
Was it like enjoyable to play?
Well, sometimes it gets off tune and it doesn't sound so good. And I don't know how to tune it. I always wanted to learn how to tune it. So my father has to tune it for me.
Okay. Well, it's good you have a technician in your house, someone who knows how to fix it. Cello, you stop now? You're not playing it anymore?
I'm not playing it anymore. But now I'm playing piano. Well, I'm not playing cello because I find it a little too hard for me.
Do you think you'll come back to it?
Maybe eventually soon.
Okay. Just like with the piano. You took a break. Right. You came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. We'll be right back to Shmuel's episode after a 30-second message from our sponsors.
Hey, incredible kids and families. Are you ready for a video streaming experience that's kosher, ad-free, and filled with fun? Introducing Yidflix for every member of the family. From Uncle Maishi's catchy tunes to the Shazak Parsha series, Yidflix has something for everyone. You could choose to pay per month or do it for the entire year. And here's the clincher. There will be no ads that pop up with something inappropriate that you don't want your kids seeing. And they update their content every single day, so you'll never run out of things to watch. Go to Yidflix.com, YIDFLICKS.com. Follow the link in the show notes and sign up today.
What's your favorite piece to play on the piano?
Fiddler on the Roof. It's called If I Were a Rich Man.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. All day long, I bitty-bitty-bum. If I were a wealthy man.
Do you want to play a piece for me right now?
Well, I can play a different song if you want.
Okay.
You want it?
Do you want it?
Sure.
Okay. Go for it.
Conveniently, my piano's right behind me.
Perfect. That's why I said it, because I saw it. Good job. What song was that?
Spanish Caballero.
Spanish Caballero. What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Google Translate, right? So, okay, that was awesome. Sounded like a fun tune. And it sounded almost like you were using like one of the like preset recordings on the keyboard. Are you sure you weren't cheating?
No, I wasn't cheating.
I'm kidding. You know, it's amazing because you're using both your hands and you had all kinds of little things. And I can tell that that kind of playing takes a lot of practice, right?
Well, it depends on your teacher and how long you practice every day.
Right. What would you say is like the most rewarding part about being able to play instruments, whether it's your cello or your piano? What makes you feel the best about it?
Well, it can be your parnassa. Like, it can't be really your job. Like, I want to be a doctor, but it can be like you can carve out some time for it.
Mm. And parnassa means like a way to make money.
Right, and you can like play bar mitzvahs, weddings.
Have you made a parnassa from it yet?
Not yet. I want to start in like maybe high school.
Awesome. High school, before you know it, you have like motivation now to practice hard, right?
And you can also give like lessons in middle school.
Mm-hmm. You can make good money from that.
That's what my mother told me.
It's hard to find good music teachers. Yeah. And you also be really good at that. It's like, you know, it's a really good experience and it's a good way to make side cash, like a side hustle, right? Mm-hmm. And pretty soon you could be playing for misibas and stuff at yeshiva, right?
Yeshiva.
A party, whatever. A one-man band.
Yeah.
You want to be a doctor?
Yeah.
That's cool. What kind of doctor?
A heart surgeon.
What?
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. It's very specific. Like, you know exactly that that's what you want to do?
I want to do it. It's good money.
Okay. Okay. But you must also have some sort of interest in heart, because I'm sure any surgeon is good money.
Right. Just heart is like, it's really life-saving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If somebody's having surgery on their heart, then you're doing whatever you're doing is really saving them, right? Mm-hmm. Through Hashem. You're Hashem's shaliach. Wow. I was not. When I ask kids what they want to be when they grow up, I literally never know what to expect. You know, it takes a lot of schooling. You're ready for that? Like, you're going to have to go to school for a lot of years.
I'm only in fourth grade.
But are you okay with that? Like, you could see yourself being in school for the next 20 years?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Hashem makes all types of people. I'm not one of them. But it's a good thing because we need them. We need good heart surgeons.
Right.
And we need Mashiach, that nobody needs a heart surgeon. But when Mashiach comes, you'll play music full time, right?
Yeah, you can play in the Beis Hamikdash.
Are you from Shevet Levi?
No, Yehuda.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. Hello, we're cousins. That's crazy.
Funny.
If you're from Shevet Yehuda out there, you're also related to us. Isn't it cool that you could trace that back? Like, you have a family tree? How do you know that?
My father told me.
It's really cool. History is so cool. Yes. Literally, direct line. You're going to be related to Mashiach. Mashiach comes from Shevet Yehuda. But the reason why I asked you if you're from Shevet Levi is because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim do what?
They play the instruments.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry. I'm sure there will be room for everyone else who wants to play.
The Yisrael can
maybe
also
not
play.
In the Beis HaMikdash. They could?
Could, yeah.
But where do they stand?
Yisrael is allowed to go in the Beis HaMikdash, but not maybe certain parts. But it can go.
But they're allowed to play instruments there?
Yeah.
You know that for sure?
My brother-in-law told me, and he's a Kohen.
Because not anybody could be a Kohen, but you're saying anybody could join the Levium?
Yeah, anybody. If they want to play and they know how to play, they can play.
That's so cool. I'll come with my microphone. I'll interview all the incredible kids. One of my listeners, she sent me a voice note. She's like, "Hi, Moritz Siri. I just have an idea for incredible kids." It was right before Tisha B'Av. Okay, this is crazy. She's like, hi, Martiri. I just tell you an idea for Incredible Kids. Since Mashiach is coming, like now, because, you know, Tisha B'Av, we were all like so confident that Mashiach was going to be there, you know. She was like, so when Mashiach comes, like afterwards, you'll interview different kids and be like, where were you when Mashiach came? Where were you when Mashiach came? And it'll be so interesting. Like one person will say, like, I was like in sleepaway camp. And then like there was this announcement and there was like a chauffeur. And then like another person will be like, I was in the middle of like swimming in a lake with my family in whatever. I was like, that's a really good episode. I like that one. Best idea so far.
In that episode, you should also interview the Kohen Gadol.
That'd be really cool.
But you should ask him all the materials. What are they used for? He'll tell you everything about it, all the secrets that you may not know right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also want to interview Mashiach. There's so many angles. Like, there's going to be so much. It's mainly the kids that I want to interview. I'm very excited for it. I'm very, very, very excited. We're going to do, like, live interviews. I'm going to be, like, in the streets. I'm going to be like, hi, where are you from? And a girl's going to be like, I'm from Sweden. And I'm with all my brothers and sisters, you know? And everyone, it's just going to be such achdos. And we'll have, like, big, incredible kids reunions. Anyway, so those are some good plans. But now, you know, also Yom Kippur is coming up. And the Kohen Gadol is going to have a lot to tell us then, you know? He's going to be so busy that day, so probably have to catch him afterwards, like when things quiet down a little bit around the Beis HaMikdash. That's like a good story. Like, yeah. Somebody should write like a Jewish novel about that, right? You want to start? So Shmuel, tell us, everybody has their ups and downs with everything they do in life. Tell me some of the challenges that you've had with playing instruments.
There's a challenge, a really hard one, that I sometimes like get upset a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
My piano teacher, she has 20 other students around, and we make concerts sometimes. Each person, like, plays a song twice, and one of the kids' parents come. And this church has a very big piano, and they want to do it there. So I asked my Rav, and he said, I can't go. So it's a big challenge.
Wow. Okay, so they want to do the performance. So you don't practice in a church.
I play at her house.
Right. So a church is a place where, like, Christians who are not Jewish, obviously, go to pray. And you're saying this specific church building has a nice piano, so they want to do it there. You asked the Rav, and the Rav said that you can't go to perform in a church. Mm. That's really disappointing. But you're doing the right thing. Because when you ask a Rav and they give an answer, that's what Hashem wanted, right?
Since my teacher knows that I can't go, we'll do a different concert in our house, and I'm not going to go to the church one, but eventually we'll have one for sure.
In your house? Yeah. Whose idea was that? That was so smart.
That was my mother's. For Baltimore Bows, we had a second concert, and then after we had a pizza party, so it was at my house.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like you have the party house.
I do, my basement.
Wow. As we approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, kids are learning in school about doing teshuvah, davening, and giving tzedakah. What message do you want to give to kids out there who are in the same boat as all of us? What message can you say?
Keep trying and never give up. Practice makes perfect on everything.
Beautiful. That's right. Practice makes perfect, but even if you don't get to perfect,
you're still good.
It's fine, right? It's all about the trying and getting there. It's all about getting there. Shmuel, is there anything else that you want to add to this awesome conversation?
Thank you, Moritziri.
You're welcome. It was such a pleasure having you on. Keep practicing, keep playing, keep getting better and better, and keep connecting to Hashem in your special way.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Have a ksiva v'chasima tova.
Thanks.
And a happy, sweet new year.
Too.
And now it's time for homework. Ooh. Oh, come on, not that kind.
Oh, I know, it's very unconventional. That means it's really like not what's done to give homework like right before Yontif. Don't teachers know you're not supposed to give homework before Yontif? Well, this homework is the kind of homework that you're going to want to do. I want you to pick a song and think hard about a song that inspires you in your own way. Just like we heard about Rebone from Barry Weber and some slow songs from Shweki and Eitan Katz's Negunim like Ki Karov. Think about a song that inspires you and then let us know at ikidspodcast@gmail.com which song resonates with you. Listen to it, feel with it, sing with it, and then think about how it's bringing you closer to Hashem and connecting to the King of all Kings this hour of Rosh Hashanah and beyond.
I wish all of my incredible listeners a kesiva v'chasima tova. You're going to hear that a lot. That means that you should be written in the book of life and everything good. Tova means good. Hashem should put you in the book of life and in the good book and in the book that he's writing in Shemayim filled with all of the incredible things that you want for yourself and your family. And may all of the things that you ask Hashem for be answered for your good. Have an incredible Yontif season.
Are you an incredible kid? Send your story to ikidspodcast@gmail.com.
Subscribe today to the Incredible Kids Podcast.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you are all
incredible.